Well, good morning, everybody. Darren Saul here, your host of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast, episode 66 on this fine Wednesday morning. I have the lovely Joe Hodges here with me in the studio. How are you, Joe?
I'm very well, thank you, Darren.
Lovely to see you. And I mentioned before that your brooch matches my orange microphone, so we didn't even plan that.
We didn't plan it, but somehow the universe knew that we needed to coordinate.
Fantastic. So now, Joe, I'm really excited about this conversation because something that we don't talk about often, but it's really important. And the topic for today is first-time leaders. Mm-hmm. What got you there won't keep you there. And what a fantastic line, because I think that's really important for people in management these days. And even in this time, management and leaders are dealing with a whole new set of circumstances, a whole new set of behaviors. So they really need to upskill and be on top of their game. But before we jump into that stuff, I thought I'd just give everybody a little intro into who Joe is. So Joe is a leadership coach specializing in coaching first-time leaders. Her passion and vision are to ensure that her coaching results in our leaders of the future having an abundance of decency, integrity, and to continuously model what it is to be a great leader in the workplace. As the world becomes more connected, more transparent, and more diverse, business needs a new type of leadership. This new leadership requires different skills to lead organizations into the future successfully. So we're going to be chatting about leadership, as you guessed, and the skills you need to get you there, but more importantly, to keep you there. So good morning, Joe. How are you doing?
Look, I'm great. I'm in Melbourne. The sun is absolutely shining today. Oh, it's one of those beautiful winter mornings. So
not as great here in Sydney as I look out the window, but
never mind.
Melbourne has to beat us every now and again. So Joe, tell us a bit more about you, anything that I might not have covered, and any other insight you'd like to give us?
Well, I guess in terms of, my background, I've had, well over 20 years corporate experience in various leadership roles, and I've been able to, witness firsthand successful leadership and also leadership that isn't successful, that fails, and the consequences of both. So, and what has led me to, my passion for coaching or specialising in coaching first-time leaders is that I don't want them, I want our future leaders to be, full of integrity and a growth mindset and a big, big dose of what I call DQ, which is the decency quotient. So doing what the decent thing is, not only for the company and not only just for you as the leader, but also for the people that you serve, your clients and your staff. Fair. So, and I think, lately in Australia, we've been let down by certain leadership in certain industries, the financial industry being one of them. And that's really put, the fire in my belly that, that should never, ever happen and I don't want it to happen again. Yeah. So that's where I'm coming from, That's my passion.
Love it. And now that's a really interesting point. Why are you so interested in the new first-time leaders and not so much the leaders that are already there that you can help them step up and retrain as well? You think they're far gone? They can't be trained? It's too late?
They're your words, Darren, not mine. I just have a connection with the first-time leaders, and I think it is because they are open and ready to learn, and they don't have any skill set yet to lead. Yep. So this is the perfect time to introduce really good leadership skills for them. Yep. Whereas, I do I do coach leaders that are established, and that works really well. My passion is first time leaders.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And I'm kind of really interested in that as well, because these days a lot of people are promoted to leadership positions. Mm-hmm. Because they are really good at what they do down in the trenches. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be good managers and good leaders. Mm-hmm. So it requires a whole new skill set, and that's a nuance that a lot of people forget when they're promoting their high performers.
Mm. And it goes to the, what got you there is not going to keep you there.
Absolutely.
Because what got you there is your perhaps your technical skill set.
Exactly.
And that then becomes only really a small part of your leadership role.
Yep, so true. Now, obviously, you're really passionate about decency and integrity in leadership. Mm. Do you think that this is something that's really lacking these days? Why are you so, use that as so much as your core component?
It's not a new thing for me. It's not a new passion. I've always been, passionate about social justice, about doing the right thing for people, having a really good, solid moral compass. That's always been important to me. And I attract people with that same belief. Yep. So that's why we work so well.
Yep.
I think there are some great examples of really good leadership at the moment, especially with the COVID-19, we've seen some really good leadership.
Yep.
But just before that, as I mentioned before, when I studied quite hard on what was going on with the financial Hames Commission inquiry, it really, really bothered me. It bothered me because of the arrogance, the lack of accountability, the lack of empathy. There was what comes to mind, Darren, was I remember, and I'm not going to mention names, but.
Sure.
But there was one senior exec from one of the financial institutions, and he was asked directly, "What are you unreservedly apologising for?"
Oh, wow.
And because they were the words that he used.
Yeah.
And he couldn't answer that question.
Wow. Yeah.
And they asked him again, "What are you unreservedly apologising for?"
Interesting. Yep.
And in the end, he said, "I don't know."
Oh, boy. Yep.
And that tells me that nothing in that organisation was going to change while that person was still there.
Yeah.
They'd been there for a long time, as many of them had, and it is very difficult to change that sort of behaviour.
Yeah.
Now, they also did a lot of good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, the banking industry, look, the shareholders are very happy. However, the mums and dads that lives are ruined because of their behaviour are not very happy.
Yeah.
And that bothers me.
Yeah, fair enough. So that's just an area that you feel is so important to everything we do. And, it really drives the decisions and our behaviours and how that affects the world around us.
Mm. Because it's about not what's best for you as a leader.
Yep.
It's about what's best for the people that you serve or the people that are, your staff, your team, your company, your clients, your suppliers. And I think sometimes, there's a saying, you start to believe your own bullshit.
Yeah.
And I think we've seen that, and that's very old school.
Absolutely. So it's really about empathy for those around you and the plight of, who you're there to serve, and try and reduce and minimize the ego as much as you can.
It is. And I think, empathy is a huge skill that, or an important skill that has been lacking in leadership for generations, because we didn't know the importance of it. That wasn't part of being a leader. And it's only in recent times, in the last sort of 20 odd years, that emotional intelligence has been brought in as a real key indicator for potential leaders, potentially successful leaders.
And I love talking about emotional intelligence and EQ. I think it's fascinating, but we'll get to that a bit later on.
Yes.
But, I mean, what do you think are the biggest pain points or obstacles for first-time leaders these days?
In my experience and in the new leaders that I've coached, probably three or four things that come up all the time. One of the first things is that they haven't really had or got a grasp of the enormity of the job that they've accepted.
Right.
So they don't really understand what it means.
Yep.
So sense. I think that would be one area that is definitely an area for development there. The other one is time management.
Yep.
They've never had to, they've only ever had to worry about their own time.
Yep.
Now they're responsible for not only their own time, but for other people's times, as you know, their teams.
That's right.
And how do they manage the influx of emails that are coming in at them? You know, some of them are getting 100 emails a day.
Oh boy, more, even more.
Yeah, you know, like how on earth do, you know, and what's expected of you today is so much more than what we've ever seen before.
Definitely.
So time management is absolutely crucial.
Definitely, particularly in the digital world. We're not only talking about email, we're talking about Zoom meetings and Microsoft Team meetings and LinkedIn and, you know, other face-to-face meetings and coffee meetings and, oh, my God, it does and networking meetings, it doesn't end.
And so what happens, Darren, is that the leaders, they don't have time to think.
Yep.
There's no time just to reflect and think, because they're just in a fight and flight mode. They're just, you know, got to get through this, got to get through this. So that's definitely an issue for them. And I think the third one is that I see a lot is they're now in a position where they have to have difficult conversations. And often if they're being promoted from, say, a team, part of a team to the team leader, that's really difficult for them now to establish themselves as their leader, as their boss.
That's right.
How do they do that?
Yeah,
and also, how do they have those difficult conversations around performance or around attitude, around all sorts of things?
It's a real
challenge for them, because they have not been prepared for this role.
Yeah, I can imagine that being really tricky. You know, you've been working with a team, you've been mates, you've been doing all sorts of team building stuff together. You've got each other's back, and all
That's
of a sudden.
Right.
You now have to give them feedback, and you have to, you know, push them along where they need to be pushed along. And it's
You have to establish some very clear boundaries about what that looks like. And that's and it's hard for everyone. It's not easy. And, you know, leadership is really hard. Being a leader, first-time leader, second-time leader, right up to the top, it just gets harder and harder. So you have to be very, very sure that you are up for this task.
Awesome. Mm. And here's another great question. I mean, what is your view on natural ability to be a leader and being able to be trained well as a leader? Do they overlap a little, or?
Well, I don't think leaders are born. I think they're made.
Okay.
And that's certainly not my own quote, but that I really believe that. Then, you know, some people say, "Oh, you're a natural born leader." Well, you know, I don't really think that that's quite the case.
You might have leadership tendencies, but you need to develop those.
Yeah, you can. You know, there are people that you see that people want to follow, just naturally follow, and that could be because of they're very charismatic.
Yep.
But it doesn't mean they're a good leader.
Yep. True, true, very true.
So, I think that leaders definitely can be developed if they want to, if they're open to it, right. If they actually understand what is involved,
yeah.
And if they have that emotional intelligence skill set.
Definitely, definitely. So I was just about to say, obviously, self-awareness plays a massive part in
it. And when you do, like we do, as part of my coaching practice, we do emotional intelligent assessments,
yep.
And it really pinpoints areas of, you know, gaps, which is really, really helpful for people that are either wanting to go into leadership roles or are already there.
Gotcha.
And they're you can see their strengths, and then you can see, okay, here are the gaps, and those gaps are really, really important that you master. So yep. How about we work on those?
Love it, love it. So let's get into the meat and potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
When you're working with a leader, how do you, you know, get them to overcome these obstacles and really step up? What do you do? How do you do it? How do they do it?
Okay, so how it would normally sort of, progress is often their boss that's asked me to come along will say, I think they lack A, B, or C,
yep.
And I want you to work on that.
And you've done this through your testing and
well, no, not yet.
Oh, sorry, the boss says, I think.
Yeah, so this is what they think. So, and then I'll say, well, look, you know what? Let's really get a grip on the areas for development and the areas that they have strengths in. And the only way to do that, because they have their own biases.
Yes.
Right. So the only way to do that is, in my experience, is to do emotional intelligent testing assessment and also a DISC assessment.
Love it.
And when you put those two together, the results are quite, well, they're incredibly powerful. So you can take those results to, you know, the person that's asked, you know, the boss, and say, this is what we've found. These are the gaps. Can you relate to any of those? Are any of those stopping or hindering this person's performance?
Gotcha. Yep.
And that is when, that's when the the manager will really be able to see with clarity where the development areas are, sure. Rather than what he thinks they are. That's and you know, often he's probably on the money,
yep.
But we just want to make sure that all areas are covered of what the requirements of a leader.
True. And I suppose, does it ever happen to you that, you know, the boss comes or, you know, someone comes along with a particular agenda for that potential role or that potential person, and they know that they want to work on a few areas to get them to there. But then after you've done the assessment, you've uncovered all these amazing skills and abilities in other areas. And at the end of the whole process, they might say, oh, this person actually might be better suited here. Does that ever happen?
Yeah, absolutely it has. They can see the reason why they're having problems is because this person's actually in the wrong job.
Yeah, there you go.
They would be better suited in this role.
Yep.
And that's why, doing a DISC assessment or doing the emotional intelligence assessment will highlight all of that. And it will highlight those that are going to be good in certain roles,
yep.
And why they're not performing. And it could just be they're not suited to that role.
Yep.
You know, often I'll see someone that's been promoted to a leadership role because of their skill set, their technical expertise, but they don't have the emotional, the soft skills to lead.
That would happen a lot these days.
It does happen a lot. It does. And this is where, if you know, why I like working with first-time leaders, is because you can explain all that,
yep.
To them. You can teach them that,
yep.
The importance of that. And is this what you really want?
Yep.
And if it is, let's see if you're really suited to it, okay. And find out where your strengths are, and let's really take advantage of those and work on those. But also, where are the gaps that we can fill to get you to where you need to be?
Perfect, yeah. Absolutely. Really, like, information and understanding is the first step, is the key to everything.
It is. And, you know, you will know in yourself certain areas because you're the one, you know, the new leader is the one that's taking the assessment. Yeah. So it's coming straight from there. So there'll be no surprises normally. Sometimes you get a bit of a resistance, yeah, but normally there's no surprises. Yeah. So, yeah, that is what I do, or that is, I don't like doing that, or I can see that I'm weak on that. Great. So, okay, how can we work on that then? What would it look like if you could be better at that? How would that affect your leadership? How would that affect your day-to-day running of your team?
Perfect. And so how long in general, I mean, obviously it's a different general question, but how long would this process take for you to get someone to be leader ready?
Well, it's a process. It's a bit, you know, and especially because often, more than often, there's been no training beforehand for these first-time leadership roles. So once we do the test, I can see, and I have their first session with them, we can see an instant result within sort of their first session. They'll go away and they'll be able to change something straight away. And then we work on everything else because it is that powerful, because they can walk away thinking, oh my God, I know that. Now I'm going to do it differently. Yeah. They'll be excited to be able to make that change.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So their boss will be able to see it immediately.
Yeah.
Now, everything else takes time.
Sure.
So, you know, it just varies on what the company requires. But in all honesty, 3 to 6 months is my time frame for a good, solid coaching, leadership, training. It's like an apprenticeship, really.
Wow, okay.
Because they've got to learn these skills, then they've got to go and practice them.
That's right. And they've got to turn them into habits.
They've got to turn them into habits. And then sometimes they'll try it, it may not work. Mm-hmm. So we have to work on that.
Yeah, that's right. It's a 360 degree.
It is. That's right.
Holistic process. It's not just ABC, do this and off you go.
Absolutely not. And we measure it the whole way through. So, you know, when you take the assessment, say in the beginning, and then we might do it again in 3 months, and the results can be very, very different.
Amazing.
It is amazing. It's amazing. A very, very powerful tool. It is the only tool that will predict successful leaders.
And so a lot of this is based on EQ, yeah?
Emotional intelligence, yeah. So IQ is set in stone. You can't, your IQ is your IQ. But your EQ.
What's that exactly about? What is EQ and what is IQ? Let's define it.
Okay, so IQ is your intellect.
Yep.
So that's what we're born with.
Right.
You know, we'll have, some people will, you know, have an IQ of 150, 160. Others will have, you know, 70, 80 or lower. Right. It doesn't really, you know, whatever that is, but that's not going to change.
So that never changes. That
it
you
never
can't
changes.
Increase that over time.
No, you can learn more, but you actually, your IQ won't change.
Okay.
That is my understanding.
All right, great.
Whereas EQ can be learned and developed. Mm-hmm. And to continually to be learned and developed.
Gotcha.
And what I find is that when the new leaders, you know, take this assessment and we put in some strategies, what the feedback they're getting is not only is it affecting their work, you know, their leadership style and their success, is that it's also working for their home life as well.
I love that. That's so fascinating, and it makes perfect sense, because once you uncover and awaken awareness of self, you know, that spills out into every facet of your life. It's not just work. You know, it's who you are as a creature, as a person, as a human being on this planet. So that's
and if, Sorry, Darren, to interrupt. I get quite passionate about this, as you can see. But if you are unhappy at home, the chances are you're not going to be a good leader at work.
That's right.
And vice versa.
And vice versa. Oh. You're miserable at work and under all sorts of stress when you come home, you're going to be miserable as well.
You know what? If you're an arsehole at work, you're probably an arsehole at home.
Love it. Love it. So really, EQ versus IQ, and EQ has been, you know, thrown to the forefront in the last 5-10 years. We hear so much about this now, EQ and emotional intelligence.
We do, and it's great. It's great, but not enough companies are putting it into practice or focusing on it.
Yeah.
I know that from a sort of a top tier level in the C-suite, it's definitely a requirement when they're being interviewed for their positions or when they're being headhunted. They need they'll take that emotional intelligence assessment. That's really important.
Gotcha.
But I think that's sort of where it starts and stops a lot of the time.
Just out of interest, what would be one or two questions that would be asked as part of that process to determine EQ? Just out of I've never really done an EQ test, so it'd be fascinating to know.
So what do you mean? Like what would be...
What kind of activity would you need to do to start establishing EQ? Like how does the assessment grade you?
Oh, I see. Well, there's four quadrants of the emotional intelligence. So there's self-awareness, social awareness, self-regulation and social regulation.
Okay, right.
So it comes under those sort of four quadrants, and there's different questions for each one.
Gotcha. So it's kind of split evenly into self and others.
And others. So the first is, understanding yourself and having that self-awareness. And often we think we are far more self-aware than what we really are. And then it's also being aware of others and the impact you have on others.
Yep. Well, that's fascinating. One of these days I'll do one of those and see what...
We must... If you've not done one, let's do one,
right,
Darren, and then we can maybe do another podcast
awesome.
With the results.
I've never done an IQ test. I'm too scared. I'll do an EQ test. Yeah,
there's no need to. You know what? Don't stress yourself about it. You may not be disappointed, but you may be pleasantly surprised. But it doesn't actually matter.
No, I know.
What really matters is people can have a really high IQ, but not do anything with their life.
That's right. It's like there's a great saying: you use or you play the cards you're dealt. So it's what you have is one thing, but what you do with it is another.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, you only have to you don't have to look too far at people that have been hugely successful and they were like school dropouts.
Yeah, it happens a lot. Usually the most successful entrepreneurs and people that have achieved a lot have been, were terrible at school.
They
weren't conformist at all.
I don't like that word dropout. They just didn't do well at school. And school is great, but it's not everyone. Not everyone thrives in school.
That's right.
And it's not until they get out and they start to experience things in the real world, and do they really start to find what they are good at?
Absolutely. Now, I love to hear about real life examples. So, have you got a story or two to tell us about a leader that you've worked with and how you've moved them through the process and then they became the most incredible leader at the end of that? I'd love to hear about something like that.
I've got a couple of stories. One sort of the opposite really to what you were saying, and it sort of goes with what, we've talked about before. And that is that I was working with a sales team, and there was one sales executive who was just blowing it out of the ballpark. Right. She was, an incredible salesperson or account manager, account exec. She was just great. She was great at engaging with the clients, getting to know them, building rapport, really getting a handle on their business. whatever it was, she was on it, and her portfolio was really growing.
Yep.
So what the company wanted to do was thinking, whatever it is she's doing, we want her to teach everybody else.
Nice, right, yep.
And so they promoted her to a, you know, leadership role,
yep.
leadership manager role. But she wasn't performing. She stopped performing, so they brought me in.
Yep.
And what it was, to cut a long story short, was that she never wanted to be a leader.
Yeah.
She never asked to be a leader. She got tapped on the shoulder. And she felt a certain amount of obligation.
Right.
A loyalty. And she was flattered, you know. Her ego was, you know, it was good for the ego to be asked. So she thought, well, I'll give it a shot. And, you know, there was a whole host of other things too, you know, about, you know, what they expected and what she understood of the role. But it came down to she just didn't want to lead. She wasn't good with her people skills internally.
Yep.
She was good externally with her clients.
Yeah.
But she wasn't even that great with relationships within her team.
Right. Yeah. She was so very, very independent and got the job done.
Very independent. And then, so what happened was she started to, her sales, she still had to, her own portfolio, part of her portfolio, her sales started to go down. Mm-hmm. Her team weren't engaged. She started to really have some, personnel issues with her team.
Yep.
And so the whole, that area of the business was starting to really fall.
Yep.
And collapse.
Did they ask her to continue working as a salesperson?
No.
As well,
no.
Just
leave? No. But what happened was she said, she wanted to leave. She said, I can't do this job. I can't go back to my other job because I'll just feel like a failure.
Right.
The end was that she didn't leave. She did go back to her other job. But what it did highlight to everybody was the importance of making sure that the right person is in the right job to lead a team.
Yep.
And it was, we used it as a learning experience for the whole team.
Gotcha.
So that she still had her respect and dignity. And it wasn't a failure on her behalf. It was just a failure, if you like, on the company thinking that she could transition so easily.
That's right. It was just a mismatch.
It was a mismatch, yeah. And the company handled it really, really well in terms of, you know, they owned up to it and said, yeah, you know what, we didn't. We just thought she'd be great at it because she's good at the technical stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. What about an example of where it was he or she was meant to be a successful leader and you just coached them to get to that place?
Oh, yes, I have lots of those. There was one quite recently, and he was very unsure about being in this leadership role.
Right.
And I worked with him for about 3 or 4 months, and I could see the potential in him, but I had to get him to see his potential and his strengths.
Like it.
And to really work on why do you think they gave you the job?
Yep. Yep.
Exactly. Because he was starting to lack confidence.
He's
starting to doubt himself. So we worked on that. And he inherited a really, really difficult employee.
Right.
And everyone else had avoided dealing with this difficult employee.
Right, oh boy.
And after some coaching, he dealt with this employee in such a textbook manner. It was just fantastic. I was so proud of him.
Well done.
And, you know, his boss, the person that employed me, was so impressed. Like, he rang me and said, "You're not going to believe this."
Love it.
I said, "Yes, I will."
Fantastic. What did you do? Yeah. Superwoman, what have you done?
I didn't do anything. It was all him.
Yeah, that's great. Well done. That's, yeah. I love those kind of stories.
Yeah, no, it's to see someone who is a little, you know, who's unsure of themselves, and then to get them to a point where they believe in themselves, and then they have real tangible examples.
Yep.
And, you know, that's amazing.
And probably now, like, when you go back and revisit that person, they're thriving.
He's thriving. You know, now we'll go back and we'll do more coaching, but it'll be at a higher level for him.
Absolutely. Mm. That's because the confidence is there, the track record is there. Mm. Now they believe in themselves.
Yeah.
Love it. I just love that concept.
He said to me once when we first started training, coaching, he said, when will that feeling of anxiousness in my stomach as I come into work leave?
Really? Wow. Yep. Okay.
I said, more quickly than you think.
Wow, fantastic. I love it, Joe. Well, that is, I mean, that's been absolutely sensational, Joe, like really interesting insights. And it's a topic that we don't really delve into often enough.
Mm.
It's kind of focusing on leadership and what makes a good leader and how to actually make sure that you put people that are potential leaders in the right places. You know, it's all about, are they in the right place in the first place?
And then what happens then, Darren, if you develop, you know, the right leaders in the right job, they're going to go out in the world and be great leaders in their community as well.
Yeah, ooh, I like that. That's nice. Yep. And great leaders at home and with family.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's amazing. I like that. Beautiful. Well done. So, Joe, if people want to contact you to get, you know, some advice and consulting and help in this area, where should they go?
Okay, so my website is theextraordinaryexecutive.com.au.
Lovely, I love it.
And I'm also on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, all under The Extraordinary Executive.
Okay, outstanding. Well done. And I always like to ask my guests at the end of the show, what are one or two points that you can leave the audience with that they can implement right now after listening to this podcast? Mm. What can they do to help them on their way?
In terms of if they are stepping into a leadership role?
Yep.
Number one is fully understand the role, the task. Right. Like, I mean, really, really understand it. And then the second one would be to, I guess, what I get them all to do is, you know what, write down all your strengths, all of your achievements.
Nice.
And write down why you think you got the job.
Right.
And if you're having any doubts, what's the evidence that you can't do this?
Gotcha.
Because there is no evidence, because it's the first time they've done it.
That's right. Yep.
So it gets out of their head any, like, I'm a failure, I can't do this, any sort of, you know, insecurities.
Because there's written proof in front of them that they have been able to succeed. It's right there.
That's right.
Yep. I like that.
That's
right. Love it. Well, some great advice there from Joe Hodges. So, Joe, thank you again for joining me and the audience. Hopefully, you know, that was a great session for you, because I certainly learned a lot, and I hope that was very valuable for everybody else.
Thank you for your time, Darren, and thank you for anyone that is watching or listening. I really appreciate you investing your time doing that. Thank you.
Fantastic. So for everybody out there, if you want to learn more, I'm going to put all the links to how to find Joe in the show notes, so give her a call, make contact, because I'm sure she can help you. And have a fantastic day, and we'll be back very, very soon for another episode of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye for now.